You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello world and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. I'm sorry there was no episode last week and that I didn't tell you guys. I didn't know that I wasn't going to have an episode last week, but things happen. On that note, there will not be an episode next week. I will be in New York seeing my best friend and going to shows and museums and soaking up as much art and culture as I possibly can within 10 days. So I will not be on my computer. I will not be recording. So I'm taking a little break, which I'm excited. This is the first vacation I've had in a very, 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 very long time. And I haven't seen my best friend in person in like 2.5 years. So that's really exciting. I feel like I'm just going to cry the entire trip, which is fine. I don't care. I'll cry through the whole thing. That's fine by me. Anyway, let's get to the show, y'all. Today we have Gina Naomi Baez. You may remember her from She's Gotta Have It or Orange is the New Black. She's also done so much theater in New York, and she's super inspiring person. And I'm very excited for y'all to hear us have this conversation. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Gina Naomi Baez. And welcome to the show, Miss Gina.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I'm so excited to talk to you. We have a lot to go down the road with. There's so much to talk about.
Definitely.
But first off, I want to start with all of the theater work that you do, because you have done some incredible productions. And I like want to give a special shout out to the fact that you played Esmeralda in Hunchback of Notre Dame, because my like 5-year-old self would literally die knowing that. I had like the Esmeralda perfume that Disney was shelling out. Like,
oh, I had all of that. Through. I also had the McDonald's Esmeralda, like the Hunchback of Notre Dame plate.
Yes. Oh my god, yes, the plates that they used to have. Yeah, yes. No, it was like, mom, we gotta go back through. I need another one.
Yes, I remember I had that one and the Hercules one. I thought I was so cool.
Dude, they were amazing. That stuff was like peak 90s child. Like, oh yeah, that was it,
definitely.
But tell me a little bit about like playing such an iconic role like that. I mean, at least for like us, that's an iconic role.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually really special because this is so wild, but my grandma her name was Esmeralda, and I only found out that her name, because I used to call her Mama, and then I remember I went to see the movie with my grandpa, and then after the movie, he was like, you know, Mama's name is Esmeralda, and I was like, what? And then I just thought to myself, wow, like I like want to be Esmeralda one day.
Yeah.
Now. I remember thinking that to myself when I was little. So then when it actually became a stage production and then all these regional theaters started doing it, I was like, this, I need to do this. Like, it needs to happen. And yeah. And I was so lucky. I got to do it twice actually, which I'm, and I would do it again and again, like wherever I could. But yeah, it's just that role is just incredible. What like a fierce woman, and just like, she speaks her mind and she's so like philanthropic and like wants to help others. And she's so giving, and her heart is like, oh, it's just amazing. And just singing those songs too. They're,
oh my God. Okay. Songs. How did you get through God Help the Outcasts? Like, oh, how did you do that nightly? Because I feel like I would just be sobbing my way through. I don't think I could do it.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I just, every time I had to sing that, like, it's just something that you don't get tired of. And yeah, I would get emotional. I mean, but I would just like take all that emotion and just like bust it out. Like,
yeah,
you know, when that key change happens and it's oh my gosh.
I'm like actually dying thinking of this.
Oh God. I would do it a million more times.
That's amazing. I have to ask, because I haven't seen the stage production of it ever. What happens with the goat? Is Jolly there, or is Jolly not a part of it? That is okay.
I know. It's so sad, though. There's no goat.
I love Jolly.
There really aren't any gargoyles either. Like, the ensemble.
Yeah.
The ensemble are the gargoyles. It's a little different. And then it's actually really sad because Esmeralda dies at the end. Like, she legit dies. Like the
what?
Book. Yeah, it's more like the book. The book is a lot darker than the Disney version.
Yeah.
But so they took the book and then the Disney music and kind of like meshed them together.
Yeah. Oh man. Now I just like, I feel like I'm going to just go into this crying if I ever see it live. I'm going to know that I need to bring tissues with me.
Oh, definitely.
But I mean, you've done so many theater productions. What has been your favorite one so far?
Ooh, well, I have to say, obviously, Esmeralda. as we just talked about it. So that definitely has been one of my favorites. But actually, I think this last show that I just did, it was a new musical called Rattlesnake Kate. And that definitely is at the top of the list right now. It was just awesome experience.
What was it about?
Oh, well, Rattlesnake Kate is about a pioneer woman in the late 1800s / she was born late 1800s and passed away in like 1960 something.
Dang.
And so it's about her life story. She grew up in Colorado, and it's about how basically she was out one day, you know, she's like a pioneer woman, like badass, and she was out one day with her baby, and she was just going like hunting for food, like for dinner, because she lived in the outskirts of Colorado. And she got attacked by 140 rattlesnakes.
What?
And these snakes just came up, like, apparently as they call it like a snake migration. And she somehow ended up defeating all of them.
No.
Yes, and saving her horse and her child.
What?
And then she ends up, this is the craziest thing. So she ends up going home, like, and putting her child, like, in safety, whatever, and her horse. And then she went back and got all the snakes. And then she ended up skinning them and selling their venom for, like, cancer research. And then she made a dress. Wait, it gets better. She made a dress out of all the snake skin and a necklace out of the rattles. And then ended up, like, becoming this huge star. Almost like a Annie Get Your Gun kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like at Annie Oakley, like she was in all the newspapers and from like all over the world, like in London, like everything. She was like this famous woman that like defeated these snakes to save her son. And she lived to tell the story, and she wears a dress now. of the snake skins. And it was like her claim to fame, I guess. And
oh then, my God.
But it's really crazy because like that's like the peak of the show, I guess, and her story. And then it's kind of just like the downfall of like what happened afterwards. Like this and like her love life. And it kind of mirrors, it's called Rattlesnake Kate. And it's kind of like she's defeating snakes throughout her entire life. Mm. And when it comes to like men or a boss or just any, like anything that's going on in her life, it was like, she was always battling snakes in a way. So interesting. That's kind of how it, I don't know, meshes together with the idea of snakes.
I mean, I can't get over the fact that this woman not only defeated all these snakes, but then decided to go back to them.
Yes.
That's what gets me. If I was around that many snakes, first off, I think I would just give up. I don't know that my fight or flight instinct would actually make me like fight. I think I would just be like, all right, see you later. This is my ending. This is done. I cannot move. I hate snakes. Like, this to me is a nightmare.
Yeah, it literally was. I don't know how she did it. And apparently it was with a sign, like a no hunting sign. Like, it wasn't even with a gun. It was like,
just my God,
force.
Like, I don't... What a badass.
Exactly. They literally, the slogan for the musical was like a badass, like a badass musical about a badass woman written by badass women.
Nice.
Just using badass.
Like, yeah, multiple times. I mean, that's amazing. So is that closed now or what's happening with it?
We literally just closed the out of town tryout. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, everyone's kind of, we're just waiting to hear what's next, you know?
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the beginning of your acting journey. What made you want to get into this crazy industry?
Well, I guess I got the first taste of this crazy industry by watching, I have to just, the classics of, I mean, oh my gosh, I just remember watching Wizard of Oz, Judy Garland, and, you know, just singing along to Summer Over the Rainbow, like, over and over and over again. And also, my mom introduced me to Funny Girl, the movie with Barbara Streisand, and I was obsessed. Like, I would perform this musical in my bedroom, like, my childhood bedroom, like, singing all the songs. I loved it, and, you know, my parents are always just very, they would always be playing Broadway albums and stuff around the house, or they'd be playing like Celine Dion, like, you know, just like really like fierce, like woman vocals. And and I just knew that that's what I wanted to do, kind of thing. And then they brought me to a couple of Broadway shows. And I just remember every time I saw them, even though I was like 5, 6, 7, I'd be like, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then I just like caught the bug, and I made my mom drive me to all these community theater auditions all the time. And I was doing like 3 or 4 shows at a time, like when I was in elementary and middle school. Like, it was wild, but it was all I wanted to do. Like, I did not want to do anything else. All I wanted to do was sing and act and do musicals. And yeah, so that was, and I just never stopped.
So what was your journey then into adulthood? Did you take the classic course of going to college and figuring it out, or did you bypass that and go straight to New York?
Yeah, so I actually, well, I grew up in New York, so I was just always around, you know, the whole Broadway scene and the auditioning scene. And I don't know, just like growing up, I always told my mom, like, I want to go do auditions when I was, you know, younger, but we never really took it seriously. During that time, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But then, once I was in high school, I applied to colleges for musical theater. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up going to Pace for musical theater.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, did that for 4 years, you know, did like the showcase, like the agent showcase, all that. Yeah. And then just started auditioning like hardcore. And I actually was lucky enough, like my senior year, I got to do a couple really cool things in the city, a couple like shows in the city. Mm. So I was like kind of already auditioning senior year.
Right.
But then I just really dove into it once I graduated and then like started, you know, auditioning also for like TV and film and
right.
Like learning those, like that whole side. Cause I was really focused on Broadway at first. And then I just kind of then I started branching out, I guess, like once college was over. And
yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I think for actors who truly are in it for the craft, I think we all imagine that it's like theater is the most exciting, right? It's the most fulfilling because you get the audience reaction right there. You can feel it. You have that energy. It's just so different. But like when you're thinking about acting as a full-time career, I mean, theater, doing that every single day is so daunting. And, you know, I think that's why we see really now actors doing it all. Back in the day, it was like, you were either a theater actor or you were a film actor. There was no crossover. And now it's like, everyone's just doing everything because it's just a more sustainable lifestyle. Like,
exactly.
You can go off and do 2 weeks on a TV set and then go back to doing theater for, you know, 5-6 months and then take some time off and go do a movie for a month. And it's a little bit more sustainable to like a healthy lifestyle, which I feel like is, you know, it's difficult for people who are in this position of like constantly not knowing where your next job is coming from or what you're doing. So having that flexibility and learning all the sides of acting is incredibly important.
Definitely.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Definitely. So tell me a little bit about, you know, the TV side of it for you, because you've done, you know, some great shows, and how did that start, you know, lining up with what you were doing in your theater career as well?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I'm going to talk, like, a little bit on what you just said. Just, you know, I kept seeing a lot of theater people doing TV and stuff. And I was like, oh, like, I'd love to try this. I want to do this. And then I guess it's so funny because I saw, when I saw the Godspell revival, I saw Uzo
Aduba?
Yes, in that show. And I was like, wow, this woman is amazing. And I was like so blown away by her in that revival. And then it was like a couple months later, all of a sudden, like Orange is the New Black came out.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, that's the woman from Godspell. And like, I was like, wow, like that's like, this is amazing. And then just to see like her whole career, like just
blow up,
skyrocket and blow up is incredible. But I remember I like told my agent, I was like, hey, like, I really want to do like TV more. I'd love to like audition more for TV. And then I just was like, I'm Latina. Like, I really want to be in Orange is the New Black. I was like, that's my goal. Like, that was just, like, my one, like, little goal that I had for myself. And then it just, like, kind of, I don't know, I guess, like, the stars aligned in this acting world, which I don't know, but it was just...
It happens.
All of a sudden, like, I finally, like, got an audition for it, and it was, like, just the perfect audition. It was, like, Dominican girl who had to sing in Spanish, and so I was like, oh, I have to sing. One, like, done.
Easy.
Sing in Spanish, I can do that, and, like, it just, like, all worked out, and that was, like, my first really big audition, too. Like, I might have had a couple more... I probably had, like, a bunch more before that, but, like, this was, like, this was a show that, like, people knew, I guess, and just right. that I knew, and I was, like, this is it, like, but, yeah, so that was, like, my first, I guess, booking or something, where I was, like, wow, right. like, I can do this, like, oh, wow, maybe I can keep doing this, or, and I kind of just, like, got the bug, too, like, being on set, too. I was, like, oh, wow, I was, like, mm-hmm. I love this.
Mm-hmm. What was it like for you to be on set? No, like, having only been, you know, in the theater world, how was that transition for you? Like, learning how to play for the camera instead of for the audience?
It definitely was a little difficult, because I'm, like, that girl that's, like, I'll give it, like, 110%. So I definitely know that I probably do too much, like, always have to hold back. But I don't know, everyone that I was working with, like, on set and everything, was just really, like, graceful, though, and, like, supportive, and we would do it, like, a bunch of times, but it was just, you learn, like, different, I guess, mannerisms or different techniques-ish going through it. But I also just loved the whole vibe. Like, you're actually treated, like, a little more human sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel on a set, like, in TV and film, which I, like, kind of appreciate. Like, you're just like, oh, wow, like, you care about me, like,
I am loved.
Yeah, like, you get, like, a little spoiled, I feel, and then it's, like, you're doing, like, just, because theater is just such a different world in that whole aspect. Like, because, again, you're doing it, like, for, like, the craft and, like, the love and, like, just... It's such a different experience. And yeah, I don't know, like, that was my experience. I just loved it. I loved, like, the costume fitting, like, them giving you everything, like, down to the T.
Yeah.
Like, you're not allowed to wear anything of your own.
Yeah. No, doing your makeup your own backstage.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Like, no fake wigs that you're trying to put on yourself.
Like, someone's doing, like, my inmate makeup. I'm like, oh, okay.
Is this needed? I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So you do Orange is the New Black. And then what was the process for you like after that, as far as the balancing of, you know, doing these TV spots and films and going back and forth through theater?
Yeah, I guess it was, you know, it's just go... It's hard to, like, explain. I mean, I guess it's just, like, the ups and downs of, like, this career. Like, there's no, like, there's been a lot of no's, and then, you know, but then it's like, oh, okay. Like, and then a yes comes along. I mean, I felt like after that I was doing a lot of theater, like a new musical and a bunch of regional stuff. So I was like, okay, like, the ball's rolling with that again. So kind of just focusing on that. And then it took a while to, like, book a next, like, TV thing, which I think, I don't even know. I think the next one was, like, I know, I'm like, oh, I don't know what I did. I don't know what life is.
Listen, when you've been in it long enough, you start forgetting everything that you've done, and you're just like, yeah, I think I did that.
I think I did that show.
Who knows?
Yeah, but I think it was, like, maybe a year and a half, and then I got... the She's Gotta Have It show, which was, like, just, like, really, like, a big surprise to me, too. But also, like, the most amazing opportunity. Like, I'm so grateful for that experience.
Yeah.
Like, that was really, like, life-changing. That was great. yeah, I'm like, that was great.
You're like, dang, that was good.
Like, shit. Like, I wish I could go back. yeah, but I'm just, like, doing, you know, just, like, any audition I get. Like, I'm just trying to make the most of it and trying to stay positive, because it's really hard to stay positive.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? You gotta find the shit to, like, release all of the frustration too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very, is there, do you have things that you do to, like, release?
Oh yeah. Well, I also, I'm like, I write my own songs and mm-hmm. like just started releasing them a couple years ago. And so that has been like a huge release, just like songwriting and all that. And also just, you know, like tip, like normal things like binge watching like Bridgerton or like, you know,
yes.
like watching The Real Housewives, like, all these things where I'm like, yes.
Let it go. Yeah,
I know. It's just, but it's like the little things like that, and like working out, like just getting to the gym, like taking care of yourself, like some self-care always. And
isn't it so frustrating that actually going to the gym does help? Like,
it does. When you're,
it makes me angry. Like, it makes me angry that it does change my mood, because I'm just like, I wish I didn't have any benefits for this because I don't like doing it. But
I feel the exact same way, and I'm so angry until when I'm done with the workout, then I'm like, oh,
this is great.
Okay, that's why.
So true. Okay, wait, real quick, Bridgerton season 2. What did you think?
Okay, no, I have not finished it. Don't give me any spoilers.
Yeah.
I was a little late to the party, so okay. I just finished season 1 just a few months ago, and then like I still have to get through season 2. Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to talk about this later once you've watched it all. On this show we like to share audition stories. No, that can be, you know, the one that got away, it could be a disaster, it could be really anything you want, but is there one that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Oh my goodness. Okay, I have two that come to my mind.
Yes.
Like instantly. I don't know if I should say like the embarrassing one or just like
both.
Okay, so I'll go with the embarrassing one first. Okay, so when I first got out of college, I went in for like I went in for this production. And actually it was on a cruise ship, which now I'm like, oh my god, I will never work on a cruise ship, because I never was on a cruise ship ever, and like I went on a cruise and I was so sick for a while, so I was like, oh, I could never live on this, like, no. This would not work for me, I'd be so sick. So anyway, but long story short, the audition room was very small, and I had to do this scene where I was like a brat, like a bratty kid. And I don't know like what possessed me to do this, but the guy was just sitting there, and he had his coffee, his Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I remember this vividly. And I was doing the scene, and for some reason I like slammed the table, because it was like such a small room, and I slammed the table like being a brat. I was like, no. And like, and then the coffee,
no,
the coffee just like, I don't even know how this happened. I guess I slapped the table really hard because I was giving 150%, as I told
you. Of course.
The coffee just kind of went flying like up in the air and went all over him. And he was so pissed. Like,
oh
he
my
was
God.
So angry. And I just stopped, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I just slapped the table.
I was possessed. I don't know what came over me. I'm so sorry.
And I just kept saying sorry, and he was like, it's fine. And like, but I could just see like the anger like behind his eyes. Like,
it's that it's fine where it really means if you say one more word to me, I will kill you.
Yeah, it was so bad, and it was like terrible. Like, and I remember I walked out, I left, and I was just like, I just started crying. Like,
oh, no.
I was just like, I felt so stupid, and I was just so embarrassed, and I did not get a call back.
Okay. But okay, here's the question though. Have you seen that casting director since?
No.
Oh my god. He's like, that woman spilled coffee on me. She ruined my Dunkin' Donuts.
I haven't. But like, just to be fair, like they only, that guy like only worked, I know that he only like cast like the cruise ship stuff, and I've never been in for like a cruise, that I've never been in for that company like ever.
Well, that's good. Ever it's again. Good to realize so, that you can't work on cruise ships because that means you can avoid that man for the rest of your life.
He like blackballed me like coffee girl, never again.
Never. Oh my god, that's brilliant. Gosh. I love that.
I don't know why that one definitely sticks out.
I mean, that's great. Okay. It's just fantastic. You know, that's what happens when you're a committed actor.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh god, that was great. I can't even think now.
Shit. It's okay.
I'm just imagining like a cup of Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee. Was it iced or was it hot?
It was hot.
Oh shit.
It's actually worse. He has like third degree burns. He's like
they had to stop the session so he could go to the hospital.
Oh my goodness. So embarrassing.
Oh my god.
If you're listening, I'm sorry.
Sorry, mystery man. You talked a little bit about your singing and songwriting before.
Yeah.
I'd love to just hear a little bit about the songs that you're releasing and you know, all of that kind of fun stuff.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I'm going to be releasing another EP. I'm very excited. But I actually wrote these songs. They're like very like singer-songwritery, folky, but like very like moody. Just getting in the feels. I actually wrote them over this past year when just like, I'll just add this in there that, so I had my thyroid removed a year ago, about a year and 1 month ago.
Wow.
And I, you know, had to work this whole past year almost to like, I guess, sorry, I cannot speak. Blah. Okay.
It's all good. I lost my thoughts earlier too. It's fine.
So I basically had to work on using my voice again, my singing voice, because when you get your thyroid removed, it messes, you're basically moving all of the nerves and everything around your vocal cords.
Oh my God.
So I had to like do major vocal therapy after for a couple months to really just sing again. And it was just like a lot of feelings, because it ended up being cancer. So it was just like very like emotional time for me.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And anyways, I was writing a lot of songs then.
Yeah. Because
that's what I do when I have feelings. And then I was just like, really, I just have been working on them ever since. And now I just have, you know, 5 songs that I'm like ready to release in the world now. And, but yeah, it's about kind of my journey that I've gone through and just like the feelings. And, I hope maybe like people can relate to it and relate to these different feelings.
Well,
and,
I'm sure they will. I don't feel like I hear too many, songs. I don't know. I feel like when you're listening to, you know, feely songs, it's mostly about love, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't feel like people really touch on a lot of things outside of just love. So I think that's important. And obviously like that was a really important thing for you to do during that difficult time and like letting all those emotions out. I mean, it must have been like super cathartic for you to be able to like put pen to paper about your feelings.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It definitely was. And just to like make them actual songs, like not just, you know, me and a guitar or like me and my piano, like random chords and just like these lyrics. I'm like, oh, like this is a real song now. And just to bring that all to life has been just really incredible. And I'm excited to share it with the world.
We're excited to listen to it. And I'm glad that you are healthy and that your voice is back.
Thank you.
I don't want to press you on it, but I mean, I would love to know what it was like, you know, as a performer, our lives are already so uncertain. So I would love to know what that was like, that experience was like for you, especially at such a young age.
Yeah. It was super scary. Yeah. But I here's another one for you. No, so I actually had cancer when I was 12. So I've already been through this whole journey-ish kind of like the chemo and everything. And then, you know, when this started happening, it was just because I like saw there was like a lump on my neck and they just kept telling me how it was not cancer. And to not worry about it. And then when I would get it biopsied, they said it wasn't cancer. It would come back non-cancerous. But then it just got to the point where it was affecting every single thing that I was doing, from like a photograph to a self tape. I'd always be like wearing turtlenecks because I didn't want them to see like this bump on my neck. And then when the pandemic happened, I knew like this was the time, I guess, if I was going to get it removed.
Yeah.
It probably was like the ideal time to do it because I'd have recovery time. But I was really scared because that's the one thing you hear as a singer, that it can affect your voice and you might not be able to sing again or use your voice the way that you're used to again. So it was very difficult to make the decision. But I don't know, something in me just told me to get it out. And, I kind of just went for it. Like I found a surgeon that I trusted and I was like, okay, we're going to do this. And, I went for it and like, thank God I did, because then it came back that it was cancer.
Wow.
So I'm just really grateful that I did it, because who knows if it was still there, like, and it was just growing or like metastasizing, like where it would have, you know, maybe I wouldn't have like a throat anymore or something, you know, like there's so many crazy, awful stories out there of just like, like all of a sudden you have like stage 4 cancer. It's like, well, and yeah.
Well, I mean, that just teaches everyone, like, you need to listen to your gut, especially when it comes to health stuff. And exactly. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous that we have to like fight for us to be seen by doctors and say, no, this is, I know this is wrong. I know that something's wrong with my body. And like, it's insane that we have to do that. But thank God you did. And if anybody's listening to this and you feel like something is like not right, you have to keep pressing.
Exactly. Definitely. And so then it was just the journey of going to vocal therapy every week, or well, virtual vocal therapy, because we were still in a pandemic. And so I was working with like a therapist every week, and we do like all these crazy exercises. But and then I got the okay to sing. And it still like makes me nervous to this day, I have to be honest. I even did a new musical. The whole time I was like freaking out the whole time. I was like, oh my gosh, is my voice going to hold up? Is this going to be okay? I mean, but it did. Like, it did. Like, I can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. You got this.
But yeah, it's just been this crazy journey. And I'm just so grateful that I can still sing. Because honestly, singing is like my number one, like my first love. And I was just so nervous because I didn't want to not be able to sing again. Like, I didn't know what that would be like for me, you know?
I mean, I can't even imagine, like, making a decision like that. It must have been just heartbreaking almost.
Yeah, it was super hard. But
everything worked out.
Yeah, everything worked out. Thank God.
And now you're releasing an EP and things are going great. And we're just kicking ass over here is what's happening.
Yes, we're living the best life.
Yes. Well, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you. Where can people follow you on social media?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I am on the Instagram at Gina Naomi Baez. And also the TikTok, same thing, at Gina Naomi Baez. And I'm also on Twitter, all the good places, like Facebook.
All the things. All the dang socials that we have to be on these days.
And I'm on YouTube too. And
Well, I have so enjoyed talking to you. You have such a great story. And man, I mean, you are on a path. I can see it.
Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure.
Thanks again to Gina for coming on the show and hanging out with me. I'm super excited for her new EP to release and see everything that she accomplishes. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to it right now. Hit those ratings and reviews buttons and leave us 5 stars, because It helps. And it's nice. Please do that. And yeah, follow the show on social media. Check out all the stuff we post. Those links are in the show notes. You can also follow Gina. Those links are in the show notes. And I won't be here next week, so no episode. But I'll be back the next week. And until then, thanks for coming in.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.